Tuesday, January 6th. Welcome back to the Damon Bruce Show here on Damon Bruce Plus. It is wonderful to have you. Tap that like button right away. It's going to bring more people into this show, and we got a good one for you today. I'm telling you, I got some things to talk about that are hopefully illuminating. I've got something to talk about that is patentedly hysterical, trademark hysterical when it comes to your Las Vegas Athletics. But we'll get to all of that a little bit later on. We're starting with football. As always, there is a 49er playoff game coming, and there are some serious worries to be had. I want to be positive. There's no reason to stop believing now. There aren't any amount of injuries apparently that prevent the team from reaching the postseason. Are there enough injuries to prevent them from doing something in the postseason? Or will it be the Eagles that prevent them from doing something in the postseason? We're going to get to all of that. But first, thank you for being here. Thank you to my man Ike of Ike Sandwiches, who's got an absolutely delicious sandwich waiting for you today. I'd say your name is on it, but look, my name is on it. My name is on the damn sandwich. Go ahead and get yourself one today. A Damon Bruce is a delicious way to start a new year. We're not wishing Happy New Year anymore, but eat a new sandwich if you haven't already. I am delicious. We want to thank our good friends at the Dubliner West Portal in San Francisco. Phenomenal bar. Great place to go watch Sharks games, Warriors games, a 49er playoff game. If you can't join me in Atlanta for the Peach Bowl, go Hoosiers. Go to the Dubliner for the Fiesta, for the Peach, for the National Championship game. I love those guys. Thanks to everything they've done to support this channel and our friends at Sleeper. We thank Sleeper very, very much and are telling you that you can get a $100 deposit match by just using promo code Damon, and do that on the link that is right in the description of the top of this video. It's incredible user interface. It is build your own odds, put your own parlays together. And that's the most fun, I think, action there is on Sleeper, but fantasy plays, all sorts of action. All over Sleeper, of course, do everything responsibly. And thank you so much for being here once again today. Hey, what defense needs linebackers anyways? Right? Who needs a linebacker? You haven't needed Fred Warner all year. You miss Fred. And God, it'd be great if Fred could come back this week. But that is not in the cards. And neither is Tatum Bethune the rest of the way. Tatum Bethune has a groin injury, and he will be out the remainder of the season. Whether that season has four quarters left in it or four games left in it, Tatum Bethune won't be seen again. D. Winters, by the way, his ankle is going to be reevaluated throughout this week. Hopefully he is trending to play. Luke Gifford, can't believe we're actually talking about Luke Gifford being an important piece in a wild card game for the 49ers. He's being evaluated all week long. He's got a quad strain. Hopefully Luke Gifford can go. And this is where, you know, this is where the 49ers are from an injury and depth chart standpoint. They are scraping the bottom of the barrel already. Someone said, what about practice squad player? Look, if you can elevate someone from your practice squad, do it now. Poaching somebody's practice squad on a Tuesday before a wild card game on a Sunday in Philadelphia doesn't sound like a winning game plan to me. Like, good luck. If you can find that magical, mystical, overlooked by everybody guy, yeah, go ahead and add that guy. I freaking dare you. I really, really do. But man, that is a weird way to start. Keon White, by the way, he's being evaluated throughout the week. Hopefully they're not down another defensive lineman. Jair Brown, he's day-to-day. We got Kalia Davis, he's day-to-day. Aren't we all? Hopefully he's ready to go in Philadelphia. And really, hopefully, Trent Williams is able to go in Philadelphia. Ricky Pearsall, again, he's got that knee, whatever. Get out there, Ricky. I hope you can. You owe the team a little football this season, if you don't mind me saying. Cheers, everyone. Sip of the day right here. So, last night, while I was watching a little Warriors game there, I pulled out the old laptop and I started doing some sleuthing. What do the Eagles' losses this year have in common? What can the 49ers take advantage of that other teams have used as their path to victory against Philadelphia? Now, this Eagles team has six losses on the season, but I only went through five box scores. I threw away their last week of the year against the Commanders where they rested too many players. I only wanted to look at the games where the real Philadelphia Eagles were out on the field. So I didn't even look at the Commanders game coming up with all of this. Now, I don't think I've split the atom here. I don't think that I'm going to illuminate something that is so, wow, no one would have saw that coming. But I do think we have some bare minimum requirements here. Bare minimum requirements to beat the Philadelphia Eagles, I think, are as follows. And it's not the best news for the San Francisco 49ers. Pardon me. Okay. So in each of their losses this year, the Eagles were held to under 21 points. A great way to go out and beat a football team is playing some good defense. Now, good defense doesn't seem to be readily available to the San Francisco 49ers anymore. Hasn't really been with them in any game at all for 2 months now. I'm not expecting anything to change. Hopefully things just don't get worse in Philadelphia. But keeping the Eagles under 21 points is a common thread through all of their losses in the games that mattered this year. Again, I didn't look at that Commanders game in week 18 where the Eagles rested a lot of guys. In four of their five losses, Saquon Barkley only scored one rushing touchdown. Now, I'm not saying Saquon Barkley scoring a touchdown automatically puts him in the win column, but Saquon Barkley is not in the end zone when the Eagles are losing football games. Keeping him out of the end zone is obviously, you know, huge. Making sure Saquon doesn't go bonkers on you is a really good way to help yourself win this game and to get yourself off the damn field. If they're just able to control the ball all day long because it is, you know, every rush is an 8-yard rush, well, the Eagles should try to put 35 to 40 carries on the 49ers and not risk the ball with Jalen Hurts. When Jalen Hurts throws for over 300 yards, the Eagles lose. That's kind of weird. But he's going to throw for over 300 yards against the 49ers because I just think they've been inviting all quarterbacks to carve them up. I don't care if you're a first rounder named Cam Ward. I don't care if you are a 45-year-old man named Philip Rivers. This team lets everybody carve them up. Everybody carves up the 49ers in the air, on the ground. So you obviously have to bow your neck on one or two third downs, get off the field and try to play good defense in the red zone. Again, this is not rocket science. Here's what's really scary, because it's something I don't know if the 49ers can do. In the in all of the losses that I'm looking at, they've lost six games. I'm interested in five of them. In all five of those losses, the Eagles gave up huge rushing yards in all of them. With Christian McCaffrey right now going like 2.6 and Brian Robinson being completely dunce capped by his own coach, hardly allowed to play. Do you think the 49ers are going to run all over the Eagles? I think it's the only path to victory. Without being able to run all over the Eagles, I don't know if they're going to beat the Eagles. The Broncos, they beat the Eagles. They ran for 130. The Giants ran for 172. The Cowboys ran for 125. The Bears ran for 281. The Chargers ran for 169. You'll also see the Eagles letting go of football games in the second half or fourth quarter in all of their losses. The most extreme example being what? They were up 21-0 on the Cowboys, and then they blow that game. They were in a little bit of a dogfight with the Chargers there, tried to rally against the Chargers, but then the Chargers got them in overtime. But the Eagles, when their defense is maybe out on that field a little bit too long, it gets pushed around a bit. Can the 49ers run the ball? You know, we talk about how Brock doesn't get much separation. I would agree with that. His wide receivers are just guys. This offensive line seems to be kind of just guys. This could be a very sobering Sunday. But they got to run the ball if they're going to do anything. I really believe that. And I think you can get on board with that. Again, we're not splitting the frickin' atom over here. These are probably kind of football truths. Control time of possession. Run the ball down your defense's throat or their defense's throat. Bow up in the red zone. Don't let their best players score. You know, these are simple things, but it's all the truth. It's what the Niners need to do, and I don't know if they're even built to do it. Are they going to run for 150 yards in Philadelphia? I don't think they win without it. Other, just, oh, I guess that's not good. It's not totally damning. I saw this from Matt Maiocco. Matt Maiocco said that Kyle Shanahan has gone up against the Vic Fangio defense four times in his career, the last time being in 2018. Shanahan's offenses scored 11, 6, 15, and 9 points against them. Now, his quarterbacks in those games were John Beck, Robert Griffin, Jimmy Garoppolo, and Nick Mullins. So it's not like he's got state-of-the-art there, but some might even argue that Brock Purdy isn't as good as some of them, and you'd be wrong, but some would. Shanahan tried to hire Vic Fangio in 2017, but was prevented from doing so when he was with the Chicago Bears. So look, you got a defensive coordinator that has done pretty well sitting on Shanahan's offense. You got a defensive line that does give it up against the run, but can the 49ers really take advantage of that with Christian McCaffrey and what the bare minimum amount of Brian Robinson Jr. seem to be added in? You know, I don't think we're going to see Jordan James get his first carry from scrimmage in a playoff game. And if he does, what the hell is that about? I don't think Isaac Garendo is going to touch the ball or even be dressed. So, you know, Christian McCaffrey, you got 65 touches in you this weekend, buddy. You might need to touch the ball 60 times. Our pal Sam Batesh is going to be joining us tomorrow. Might have someone else stop on by to really sort of preview the nuts and bolts of this, but the more I look at this game, I hate to tell you this, I'm just going to be honest with you at all times. The more I look at the 49ers' chances in Philadelphia, the less I like their chances in Philadelphia. And the Eagles are not great, but the 49ers just are, after playing some pretty good offense, they just ran into a really good defense and they looked incapable. You know, it's not exactly the tone you're looking to set as you step into the postseason. We got incapable on our side. They looked incapable of moving the ball, controlling the line of scrimmage against a good Seattle defense. The Philadelphia Eagles are not as good as Seattle, but they're closer to being the defense that Seattle plays with than the defense that the 49ers will be playing with at Lincoln Financial Field. So good luck. God bless. I think you're going to need it. I think the 49ers are going to need it. By the way, it wouldn't be so much good luck, God bless, if they had drafted better. That's something that Kruger and I were talking about on Monday. I'm sure it's something and the door will be knocking on an awful lot as we look at this year, what went right, what went wrong, looking to this upcoming NFL draft, what the 49ers need to do to improve. Again, just like last year, they need offensive line, defensive line, and a wide receiver. I mean, it's just, that never goes away. The first 18 slots of the upcoming NFL draft have all been locked in. The first three picks belong to the Raiders, the Jets, the Cardinals. By the way, I saw that the Raiders are thinking about bringing in maybe a defensive side of the football coach. Look, that would be the most Raider thing ever. If you're about to draft a quarterback number one overall, go get him an offensive mind to help him settle into this league. Maybe Cliff Kingsbury, who's been a mutual parting of the ways, a mutual uncoupling with Washington. I don't know if Cliff Kingsbury's ready to be a head coach again, but I thought he did a really nice job with Jaden Daniels. Anyways, Raiders, Jets, Cardinals, like the three least competent teams in the league, get the first three picks in the draft, followed by the Titans, Giants, Browns, Commanders, Saints, Chiefs, Bengals. That's how the top 10 gets rounded out. Then it's the Dolphins, Cowboys, Rams because of a trade with the Falcons, the Ravens, Bucks, Jets because of a trade with the Colts, Lions, and Vikings. Those are your first 18 picks that are locked in before any more trades are made. A few trades have already been built in to lock in some of those draft positions. The 49ers right now are projected to pick somewhere in the early 20s. 23rd is where they are. And that will, I think, come to bear if there is an early exit from this wild card. Obviously, the further they go, the later they'll draft. Seattle right now is projected to pick 32nd, which means they are projected to win the Super Bowl. The Packers, the Jaguars, the Falcons, and the Colts have no first-round picks. Those four teams are out of the first round. The Rams, the Cowboys, the Jets, and the Browns each have two first-round picks. So there can be, you know, a little controlling of the board thrown down the gauntlet there by one of those teams if somebody really wants to get aggressive. The draft this year is going to be in Pittsburgh. And that's honestly, Pittsburgh is one of the best football towns in America. So I'm sure Pittsburgh will do very, very well by this draft. And the first round, I mean, write it down. I even told Jillian, I said, put it on the calendar. I am going to be busy on April 23rd. That is the first round of the NFL draft. So, you know, it's definitely not time to start thinking about next year. There is a game in Philadelphia. But again, the more I look in, it's hard to like the Niners in this game. It's hard to thump the chest and say, yeah, Niners. Again, who would have thought Tatum Bethune would be a bridge too far? Like, can't even have that in the postseason. Can't even have him. He's not a that, he's a him. That's rough. Oh, geez. The lone wolf. Gifford, automatic loss. What am I going to say? You're wrong. Saleh and Kingsbury in Vegas with Mendoza, signed top tackle. I mean, it's not the worst idea. Yep, that's one of Pete Carroll's final parting gifts. He might have gotten you the first-round draft pick, but Max Crosby doesn't really want to be a Raider. We'll be talking about a team in Las Vegas here in a little bit, but it won't be the Raiders. Any chance Nick Martin plays? I don't think so. I mean, he's on IR. So, you know, if there was something about him clearing for a practice window, we would have probably heard about it for this game. Maybe later on, the deeper the Niners go, there's a chance of that happening. But right now, don't love it. Again. Yeah, Robinson would be nice if they actually used him. Where's Jordan J? Jordan who? It's crazy. This team drafts guys to be professional football players and then gives them redshirt seasons. Like, you're paying for that. You're paying for that redshirt season. This isn't a bad idea. Just blitz Garendo. Go ahead. Just put Isaac Garendo out in the wide nine and just blitz that guy. Sure. Why not? That's funny. You know, what is this? Tatum Bethune isn't good. He has zero pass coverage. Tristan, he's one of the best tacklers they have remaining. I mean, here's the thing. Perfect left hound. Really good, ain't moving in. You got to play with what you got, and one of the best of what you got left was Tatum Bethune, who I say, you know, he's not much in pass coverage. Neither is D. Winters, but he's at the football. Tatum Bethune is at the football every single time a team runs. He had a terrible game against Seattle. They ran at him, around him, and he was probably dealing with a bad groin there. And now we're not going to see him at all. Good God. Yeah, Eagles have given up 20 rushing touchdowns and only 9 passing touchdowns, fewest of any team all season. They're ranked 22nd in rushing yards allowed. And I am the biggest Christian McCaffrey guy you're ever going to meet here on YouTube. But Christian McCaffrey getting loose. I don't know, man. I don't know. I just think that they're going to go ahead and put all eyes on him. And Brock Purdy, you're going to have to find wide receivers who aren't open. All right, couple of other things here. Matt Ryan is expected to be named the Falcons' president of football operations. When you look at all the money Matt Ryan has made in his career, this guy, without winning a Super Bowl, without being known for winning in prime time very much, you know, without being able to hold on to 28-3, Matt Ryan has had a hell of a career, and now at the age of 40, he's expected to be named the Falcons president of football operations. Let me tell you how much better that life is than the life that Philip Rivers just stepped back into, or the life that Aaron Rodgers is in the postseason, so I guess he can laugh a little at everybody. But, I mean, 40 years old means your football should be in your rearview mirror, and good God, like, who's got a better reputation to just be like, oh yeah, you're now the president of our football operations than what Matt Ryan's got, man. That's an awesome gig. That's an awesome gig for him. So if you ever liked Matt Ryan, Matt Ryan's life continues to be better than the rest of ours. A guy who would like his life to get a little bit better is showing signs. Yeah, it's time to move on, but I don't know how it's going to happen. Bad teams give bad contracts to guys who they like but don't love. I don't think the Dolphins ever loved Tua, but they liked him enough to give him a contract that is going to cripple any ability to move him. And Tua just told reporters down in Miami, when asked about if he was ready for a fresh start, like all through the regular season, he got benched in the last three games of the regular season for Quinn Ewers, the rookie, and Mike McDaniels even said, yeah, we got a better chance to win with a rookie than Tua, which is, you know, not exactly what you want to hear from your head coach. But Tua, after being all coy, saying, you know, saying the right things even through the benching. I'll say this about Tua. Tua the player, not great. Tua the press conference, Tua the guy at the podium, he's done a good job. And you know, he said all the right things, but when asked about this down in Miami, he goes, and I quote, that would be dope. I'd be good with it. Asked about a fresh start somewhere else. It's going to be hard, though, because Tua signed a four-year, $212 million extension back in July of 2024, the richest contract in Dolphins history. You know, if you're not really sure about a guy, if you're worried if he's the right guy for the job, if you're worried about all those concussion concerns, which he comes with, you probably don't want to hand that contract out, but they did. So, you know, Tua has got just enough talent to where another team might have taken a flyer, might have said, okay, let's see if we can fix it, or he can be the bridge guy between whatever, wherever we are now and whatever quarterback really does represent our future. You know, Tua's, you know, if Jameis Winston can bump around the league, Tua probably would have been able to bump around the league too. But the reason why we allowed Jameis to bump around the league is because he never came with punitive financial damages. Tua does. And by the way, the biggest damage he would do is to the Dolphins, who painted themselves in this corner, if they just went ahead and cut him. He represents $56.4 million cap hit in the upcoming season, and to cut him before June 1st would be a $99.2 million in dead cap next year for the Dolphins. They really can't cut him. No one's going to trade for him. What are you going to do with that? Again, bad teams stay bad for a reason. Because they make terrible decisions. Tua to the Falcons. I mean, that's supposed to be Michael Penix, right? Tua to the Raiders. That's going to be Fernando Mendoza. Who wants to start with that guy his bad reputation on field in terms of delivering. And, oh, by the way, he is the walking representative of concussions in the entire quarterback universe. If you had to draft a most likely to be concussed on his next hit quarterback, Tua's your guy. So that is that's a tough place to be. Well, there's no doubt here. RIP Cougar. Malik Willis, better than Tua. Here's the thing. For the price point, you're gonna knock on Malik Willis's door 400 times before you even like call to see if Tua's there. All right. A little bit on the Warriors, who do at least have a 9-game home streak. Homestand coming up for them. They're gonna play a lot of games in a row at Chase Center. They need to. They lose by a point last night in a game where Curry fouled out, where Steve Kerr got ejected. And look, Steve went ballistic, absolutely ballistic last night. Kerr was very angry at a bad call on Steph, was very angry at a goaltend. And he went as bonkers as I think we've ever seen Steve Kerr get ejected from in a game. Let's just say that that is more than just that moment, because there's bad officiating happening in front of every single NBA coach every single night. It's a terribly officiated sport. It's not consistent. Different crews have different points of emphasis, and it's all over the place all the time. What you saw was a transference, I think, of frustration. It wasn't just that moment, but an awful lot of frustration in Steve came out, I think, in that moment. Frustration with his own roster. Frustration with what's happening with Kuminga or what isn't happening with Kuminga. Frustration with the little one-man mutiny that Draymond tried to stage the other night. Frustration with just everything. And I'll tell you what's really got him, I think, pissed off more than anything. And this is what's got me a little bit pissed off about Steve more than anything. And I like Steve Kerr, the guy. Steve Kerr, the coach, I think, is trying to do something that is no longer really available to him. Steve Kerr is trying to fit a system into a team that cannot run it. He has not evolved with the roster that he has. For a team that has nothing but guards, they can't shoot. Like, riddle me that, Batman. Isn't that one of the all-time basketball oxymorons out there? We got nothing but guards on the floor, but nobody but Steph Curry can really shoot this basketball. And it's not like the other guards are like lockdown defenders or great ball handlers or are spectacular, you know, operators of an offense who can, you know, lead the leagues in assist totals or anything like that. I mean, it's just what the Warriors have is Steph Curry and then about seven other guards who are literally jacks of all trades, masters of none. They basically have Steph Curry and seven Brandon Pajemskis. That's tough to win with. That's tough to win with. Everybody can kind of do enough to be an NBA player, but not enough to actually stand out or help you win many NBA games. They painted themselves into that corner, and they deserve whatever they get for being in that corner. I like the Warriors. I love Steph Curry. I got no sympathy for the situation that they're in because they have led the league in twiddling their thumbs on tough decisions for years now. And all of that thumb twiddling is coming home to roost. It is. All right. Snoop Dogg is a guest analyst. Did you watch that game last night? The game was a Peacock game. First of all, let me just tell you, the player introductions in the Intuit Dome, I mean this, it makes Chase Center look like Chase Center was built in the 60s. Like, Chase Center is a great building. It really is. But the Intuit Dome, holy shit, that thing blinks like the Sphere in Las Vegas. And I will say this, as much as the Warriors got that huge scoreboard, if you're sitting in the upper deck, it completely cuts off the view of all the Warrior fans on the other side of the upper deck. I like to see a building full of people rooting for the same team I am. So I think it kind of cuts the view in half. It almost overly dominates the room. It's a little too big, if you will. That circular scoreboard, I mean, the Warriors, what, missed that technology by 15 minutes? That's the scoreboard that looks awesome, man. That's the scoreboard that they need at Chase Center. Not that big rectangle thing that they got in there. That the Inuit Dome looks freaking really cool. Now, I've seen a lot of people complaining about it. Well, you know, it's there's not a lot of amenities. Well, that's the point. You're not supposed to be in the concourse. You're supposed to be in your seat watching the damn game. That's how they designed the place. I haven't been to the Inuit Dome. I shouldn't be glowing about it, but I'm just telling you that on the introductions last night, like, holy shit. Well, it looked incredible. It really did. When it comes to Snoop Dogg being a guest analyst, if you enjoy Snoop Dogg, you're going to love him on NBA games. He was funny. He was entertaining. He was, you know, not very like basketball insightful, but he was like a hype man for the game. I like Snoop Dogg. I think he's good at what he does. He's, you know, what does Snoop Dogg do? He does one thing. He's Snoop Dogg. And he's very good at it. He's very, very good at being Snoop Dogg. And I actually thought that he, you know, because I've seen him do a little broadcasting, I guess, in an NBA situation. And I thought, you know, maybe it's good to have Snoop Dogg, but not necessarily for a game that you're watching. Like, I didn't think I wanted Snoop Dogg being involved in any level of broadcasting in a game that I'm actually watching because I care about it, because I cover this team and we're watching this team. He was good. The problem, though, is the other broadcasters trying to keep up with him. Like, Snoop Dogg is this super cool guy, and Reggie Miller is a dork who could just shoot it. So, like, there's no chemistry really between them. I forgot the name of the guy who did play-by-play, but again, it's just, you know, he sounds like Mr. White Guy trying to talk to someone cooler than him. And it just, the problem in the Snoop Dogg broadcast is everyone trying to keep up with Snoop Dogg's coolness. And I don't mind him. It's everyone else trying to keep up with him. So there you go. There is all the basketball analysis you need today. Other than, did you see that Trae Young has told his agents, like, get me out of Atlanta? It's not, Trae Young is going to be out there. Trae Young's a good player, man. Trae Young is a guy who has been the face of the Hawks since, what, 2018? He led the NBA in assists last year, at least assists per game. But there's friction because Atlanta had a chance to extend him for, you know, a ridiculous amount of money, and they just said, no, we're not going to do it. You know, he's not a guy that we want to give $500 million to, or whatever the new number is to give a guy crazy max extensions and shit. Atlanta obviously wants to build around, like, Jalen Johnson now, who's really coming to his own after coming out of Duke. So, you know, he's been in the league a few years. He's getting it now. But there's a good player out there for somebody to get better with. Apparently, the Sacramento Kings are out. There was a little link between him and the Kings. I guess that's not going to happen, which is probably good for him. So here's the thing that I saw this morning. This is a story that is coming out of Vegas that if you needed any more bits of evidence that John Fisher is the wrong guy to be in charge of anything, I would like to draw your attention to this. Front Office Sports this morning says that the A's have been denied trademarks for the Las Vegas Athletics and Vegas Athletics by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. Wow. You'd think this is something that might have been explored when they were still in Oakland thinking about going to move to Vegas. You think that this is something that they would have hopped on? Our friends at Last Dive Bar were actually the first to try to apply for this. And our friends at The Last Dive Bar were denied a chance to file this trademark under the same reason that the A's are being denied this chance. The U.S. Patent Office has basically said the word athletics is just too generic to be trademarked. No, that's not what's going on here. Because the word athletics was patented in Philadelphia, I'm guessing all those years ago, was patented and trademarked in Kansas City, in Oakland. I mean, the word athletics has never been a problem to protect business-wise until who was involved. Who's involved? Who is most responsible for everything at all times? The single least competent owner in the history of sports. There has never been a guy that has screamed, "Thank God for my dad's money," like John Fisher. I don't think John Fisher would have topped out as an assistant to the regional manager of Dunder Mifflin. And this guy, again, here's what doesn't happen. Billionaires don't hear the word no. How is it that he has not greased all the backdoor skids needed in the U.S. Patent Office to make sure something like this doesn't trip him up? Again, you're not even good at being a criminal. You're not even good at buying influence. This is stunning. This is absolutely stunning to me. Now, what does this mean? What does this mean? So it doesn't mean the A's now can't call themselves the Las Vegas A's. It's just they can't control anyone using that. They can't control Las Vegas Athletics or Vegas Athletics, meaning anyone who wants to print a T-shirt that says Vegas Athletics on it can, and they don't owe the A's a nickel. And the A's can't control who uses it, which means what? Any bar in Las Vegas can call themselves, or any radio station can call themselves the home of the Vegas Athletics. And if the Vegas Athletics send a lawyer saying you can't do that, the company can go, "Oh, no. We didn't mean your baseball team. We meant the concept of athletics. It's such a generic term, and that's why you can't trademark it." How is this possible? How? I'm not a lawyer. I really don't know the details or why this isn't happening, except I do. It isn't happening because John Fisher is in charge of the ship. Any ship John Fisher touches will sink. It's just Vegas, you have been thoroughly warned. If you would like a demonstration in complete and utter incompetence, if you'd like a demonstration that your billionaire owner will have zero juice and probably isn't really a billionaire anyways because Gap stock is, I mean, good God. It's unbelievable. Mwah. Perfect. No notes. This is perfect. This is perfect. It's just, it's incredible. I mean, everything about Las Vegas can be bought. That's one of the most corrupt cities in America. You can buy anything. You can buy, again, you can probably buy a pit to bury your dead hookers in if you know the right people. And this guy can't even get his Major League Baseball trademark, which hasn't been a problem in any other place. Did he not check with the state of Nevada if he could do this before he said, "I'm moving to Nevada"? It's unbelievable, man. It's unbelievable. It's just, it's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. I'm sure something will happen. I'm sure something will happen, and they'll be able to control their trademark or right somehow, some way. Again, somebody's going to get bought off. Something's going to happen. It's not like they're going to now, you know, it's so funny. My buddy Ryan, he texted me this morning. He's like, "What about the Las Vegas Bees? Can't have the A's? Bees. Hopefully the Oakland Ballers have trademarked that." Have they filed a trademark for the Las Vegas, bees or ballers. That would be great. My friend Ryan is also from Cleveland, and he sent another text. He's like, hey, Indians is available. If they want to call themselves the Las Vegas Indians, that's available. I thought that was so funny. And this is just, again, this is as John Fisher as it gets. What more evidence do you need to say, this guy, he ain't the guy. He ain't the guy for any project. I wouldn't have John Fisher be in charge of my kid's kindergarten art project. He'd screw it up. Unbelievable. Let's go ahead. Oh, we got a couple supers here. Again, I'm heading to the Peach Bowl on Thursday. If you ever wanted to buy your boy a beer, now's the time to drop a little super on the show, just like Smiley Dan did. My man, Smiley Dan. I love this guy. Have fun. Be safe in Atlanta. Half an airport drink on me. Also, remember when we thought Ray would be on this show? Oh, good times. Yeah, Ray Ratto. Not a big returner of texts. I guess he never really loved me, just like radio, never really loved me. Ray Ratto, radio. I thought I loved these guys. They didn't love me back. Get an early lead and all the pressure will be on Philadelphia. Thomas, I'd agree with you. Look at it this way. The 49ers have to front run. It's who they are. It's what they do. So they have to front run. Nobody in the NFL has a good winning percentage when they're down like by 10 in the fourth quarter. Nobody. But Kyle's got the worst. So good luck with that, everyone. Good luck with that. Okay. I'm never going to waste your time. That's everything you need to know today in sports. That A's story. I saw it this morning. I just started laughing. Oh, my God. But we got an interesting day in history, and something in today in history will add at least 5 or 10 minutes on the show, and I can't wait to read your comments all about it. Here we go. First of all, we start with our happy birthdays. It's not a big birthday day, but happy birthday to Rowan Atkinson, Mr. Bean, 71 years old today. Kate McKinnon, very funny, from Saturday Night Live. Any skit Kate McKinnon was in was a good skit. She was hysterical. She's 42 years old, and Saturday Night Live certainly misses her. Happy fictitious birthday to Sherlock Holmes, the most famous detective of them all, created by Arthur Conan Doyle in 1854, even though Doyle never specifically mentioned January 6th as Sherlock Holmes' birthday. Apparently, the Sherlock Holmes community, lobbyists, whoever they are, explicitly say that January 6th has been accepted as canon by most Sherlock Holmes fans as his birthday. So the most famous detective of them all, real or imagined, happy birthday, I guess, to Sherlock Holmes. Today in 1540, King Henry VIII of England married Anne of Cleves. I think he cut her head off. Or no, was that Anne Boleyn? There were a lot of beheadings back then. Henry VIII didn't call a lawyer. He didn't call Anne Fong when something went wrong. More of an injury attorney than a divorce attorney. But I think he called the executioner. Today in 1839, the Night of the Big Wind, which sounds like somebody really ate a lot of beans and just let one rip. But the Night of the Big Wind swept Ireland. It damaged or destroyed more than 20% of the houses in Dublin. I mean, what are they, the Three Little Pigs over there? Night of the Big Wind, we got sticks houses, houses made out of twigs. By the way, Night of the Big Wind. Can we go back and figure out what that was? Was that like a tornado? Was that a hurricane? What was that? I know it's been raining for like 3 weeks straight in San Francisco. Today is actually a not so rainy day. I actually saw some blue sky this morning, some sunshine for the first time in a long time. And they've been saying that the reason why we've had all of this rain is because of the atmospheric river. When I was a little kid, atmospheric rivers were called "it's raining." Bomb cyclones. Like, we're just making shit up to make the Weather Channel sound more interesting than it really is, aren't we? I think we are. Today in 1912. Oh, happy birthday, New Mexico. New Mexico's greatest import, of course, is where Breaking Bad was filmed. New Mexico became the 47th state in the Union today in 1912. Today in 1957, Elvis Presley made his seventh and final appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show. Thank you, Elvis. He left the building after that. Again, we don't try to incorporate a lot of music here or movies in today in history because we'll just go down freaking rabbit holes and never get out of it. But today, in 1973, the number one song in America was Carly Simon's "You're So Vain." And I'm going to tell you, that's still a great song. And it's the piano lick that it opens with is great. She's got a great voice. And the line, "You're so vain, I bet you think this song is about you." Every single guy that has ever listened to that song got stung by that line a little. It's fantastic. It's a great song. It's great songwriting. Great song. Frickin' Carly. See, now, by the way, Chef A knows what's up. She says, is that about James Taylor? Apparently, folktale legend is that song is about, what's his name? Annette Bening's, what's the guy? Warren Beatty. Warren Beatty. Thank you very, oh, look at Leslie coming in here. Warren Beatty. Thank you very much. It's about Warren Beatty. She rhymes the word apricot in that song. It's really good. You went to Saratoga. Your horse naturally came in. It's a great song. Speaking of great songs, today in 1973, ABC's Schoolhouse Rock debuted. And that is how most people learned about language. And I am a Bill. I'm only a Bill. Schoolhouse Rock. Schoolhouse rocked. I loved it. It was fantastic. Big part of our Saturday morning commercial breaks, right? When we were kids. Look at Leslie. To see the total eclipse of the sun. Who hurt you, Leslie? Who hurt you? Who hurt you? Okay. Now here is our last today in history moment, but this, I think, adds 5 minutes to the show because we got to talk about this because everybody remembers. What if I just told you today in 1994, the question, why, was asked? Who asked the question, why? Why? Nancy Kerrigan was attacked by Shane Stant, who tried to break her legs, didn't. The movie Tanya is incredible, by the way, about this. And what's her name? The gal who played Barbie as Tanya Harding is incredible in this movie. Anyways, Kerrigan would finish in second place. Tanya Harding would finish eighth in the event. But today, Olympic ice skater Nancy Kerrigan got attacked by the morons who literally left the easiest paper trail of all time to follow. Isn't that something else? Margot Robbie. Yeah, thank you, Zothmas. Margot Robbie. Margot Robbie. Hold on. Wait a minute.
Pound it.
Seriously, Margot. Oh, yo. Legit. But oh my God, man, I remember that. That was a story that had social media been around in 1994, holy mackerel. Like, I can't even imagine what that story would do today. What would become of that today? The people that would have been around that story today. Unbelievable moment in time in sports. And look, I will say, you know, outside of quarterbacks starting Super Bowls, starting pitchers in World Series games, goaltenders in Game 7 of Stanley Cup Finals, there cannot be a more pressure-filled sports experience in the world. In the world than that female Olympic skating gold medal round. Your entire life is spent working to this moment, which is over in like 3.5 minutes. I am really glad the Winter Olympics are coming up. I love the Winter Olympics. The Winter Olympics are next month. I love the Winter Olympics. And the best part of the Winter Olympics will be that female women's the ice skating final. That and the hockey, of course. See, Macklin Celebrini is on Team Canada. It would be impossible to explain how much that moment captivated America. Good God. Snowboarding half pipe is awesome. Dude, the snowboarding events are pretty damn cool. There's no doubt about it. The snowboarding shit is cool. When they go over those terrains and they like race downhill and they got to put the jumps in the race, that's pretty cool. Can we get breakdancing in the Winter Olympics just to bring back the chick from Australia to breakdance again? She was great. And all I can tell you is that Don is on to something right here. Hit the like button, folks, please. Thank you, Don. I really appreciate that. I really appreciate all you being here. I really appreciate the 50,000 plus who have subscribed to this channel already. By the way, that puts us in the top 2% of all channels on YouTube. Isn't that something else? Little old us have done this together, and it really is. It's us. This isn't just me. I might be the guy on this side of it. And by the way, have we at least got the frickin', I restarted the router. I reset the computer today. Hopefully we weren't all fuzzy-wuzzy today. Fuzzy-wuzzy was a bear. We don't want fuzzy-wuzzy on the channel. So thank you for being here. Thanks for your support. You guys, you gals, you're all the best. You're so vain. I bet you thought the show was about you. Thank you very much. And please do remember that sports don't build character. They reveal it. And like that, he's gone.